Okay, Texans and Jaguars, next game here. And we'll start with the Texans, who were down both Christian Kirksey and Kamu Grugier-Hill going into this one, so not great for them. I believe they were down a starting safety as well. I can't remember if it was Reed or Murray. But, yeah, so Tavier Thomas led the way, corner, 11 combined tackles, 7 of them solo, only 80% of snaps. Interesting. This is not the type of game I'd think that would happen, but okay. Strange. And then Garrett Wallow, 11 combined tackles, 6 of them solo, sack and a tackle for loss. So, okay. Without Kirksey and without Kamu Grugier-Hill, it was Neville Hewitt and Garrett Wallow. So, if for some reason we're losing both of those guys again this next week, it would be Garrett Wallow and Neville Hewitt, and both of them had great games. Garrett Wallow, 11 combined tackles, plus all that other stuff. Neville Hewitt, 10 combined tackles, 5 of them solo. So both had excellent, excellent, excellent games. I do believe Hewitt would be the one that survives if we get Kirksey or Grugier-Hill back. So that's probably your order of operations. Check with local Texas, Houston Texan beat writers before kickoff to confirm that. But that would be my opinion and probably most people's opinions that Neville Hewitt's the first option, Garrett Wallow is the second option. Regardless, both had a huge day. I wish we knew that Garrett Wallow was going to be an option because a lot of us probably went with Eric Wilson and assumed him and Neville Hewitt would be the guys. Eric Wilson only played 26% of snaps and only gave us 2 combined tackles, so that's what happens when you guess wrong. Okay. Eric Murray after that, 8 combined tackles, 4 of them solo, 1 pass defense on the day. So, yeah, it looks like Justin Reed might not have been active. That's why we got this Owens guy, Jonathan Owens, 8 combined tackles, 4 of them solo also. So Jonathan Owens, 100% of snaps. Eric Murray, 96% of snaps. Justin Reed, nowhere to be found. So that's where that came from. So no Eric Reed equals Jonathan Owens, starting safety, 100% of snaps. There's your waiver wire move there. So we got Garrett Wallow and Jonathan Owens. Those are the two waiver wire moves here, but they're dependent on there being both no Kirksey and no Grugier-Hill for Wallow. And for Owens, we need no Eric Reed. Right, so if those things happen again this next week, then we get those guys. If not, then we do not get those guys. So these are not just straight waiver wire moves. They're dependent on other players' health. So keep that in mind. Okay, after that, Chris Smith and Derek Rivers landed sacks. Who the hell are those guys? Okay, Chris Smith, we can definitely ignore. Backup linebacker, 39% of snaps. Derek Rivers, backup defensive end, 54% of snaps. I don't think I've ever said either of their names out loud before ever in my life, so we can absolutely ignore both of them. What else we got here? That's about it. Desmond King, poopy day, just 3 combined tackles, but he did play 99% of snaps. Lonnie Johnson's back in the fold as corner 2, 87% of snaps. He had 3 solo tackles and a pass defense. Tavier Thomas remains corner 3, 80% of snaps. So, okay, that 2 of those 3 things are normal. Desmond King has been corner 1 for like a month plus now. Tavier Thomas has been corner 3 for essentially the entire season. Lonnie Johnson has come and gone multiple different times this season. He's back again. I don't trust it at all, so I would stay away from it. King or Tavier have both been decent options if the matchup is correct at different points this season, though, so that looks fine. So, yeah, not a ton going on here. Jonathan Green had COVID. He did not get to play. You know, the inside linebackers, Grugier-Hill, I think will be back this next week, so we could probably just forget about this Garrett Wallow thing. It'll probably end up being Kamu Grugier-Hill and Neville Hewitt as the two guys. But if you can add Neville Hewitt, please do so. That's probably going to be an option coming up here. And Garrett Wallow will only be an option if we get the exact same circumstances we got this week, having no Kirksey and no Crugier Hill. Beyond that, everything else is normal here. We did not get Kevin Pierre-Louis, as some of us thought we might. In fact, he only played special teams, 81% of special team snaps. So swing and a miss on that one. But once again, this is why I say things like, we don't actually know. We don't work for the Texans. Texans knew what they were going to do. They're not going to tell us. They're not going to tell the opposing team. They're not going to broadcast that. You know, there were 4.5-point dogs in this game. They're supposed to lose this game. Instead, they beat the living hell out of the Jaguars. So, you know, we're going to find out about these things a week late and a dollar short. That's how this works, right? All we can do is adjust when we find out and hope that their decision stays the same going forward. That's the amount of control we have. Not a lot, but we do what we can, right? And the fact that you're here listening to this shows that you do more than most, right? Like, you actually give enough of a crap to follow all this and try and stay current and stay on top of it. And a lot of your league mates aren't. This was the easiest fantasy week I had in years. You know, knock on wood, if things stay like they are right now, Sunday night, 10:17 p.m., I'm going to go 8-0 in my Yahoo leagues. Which are the ones I actually give a shit about, because it's tied to my diamond rating and there are thousands of dollars worth of prizes in my money leagues, in my Yahoo leagues. Yeah, I might go 8-0 just because I paid attention this week and most of my other league mates did not. There are all kinds of inactives and injured guys and wrong guesses on who's going to play and guys that forgot that there were, you know, a Saturday game, or guys that didn't know there was a 5 p.m. game on Sunday, or excuse me, on Monday. This is Monday night, not Sunday night. You know, there's a lot going on right now. If you don't stay on top of it, that's you're doing yourself a disservice. That's half the battle right now in today's fantasy football landscape, is pay attention and stay on top of things. If you can do that, you got a better shot than most. So anyway, rant over, but those are your waiver wire moves for the Texans. Let's move over to the Jaguars, where Andrew Wingard led the way. 9 combined tackles, 5 of them solo, 100% of snaps played. Mr. Wingard is back in our good graces the last couple few weeks here. That's nice to see. Miles Jack, acceptable game, 6 combined tackles, 5 of them solo, 100% of snaps for Miles Jack. Shaq Griffin, acceptable game, 5 combined tackles, 4 of them solo, 100% of snaps for Shaq Griffin. And then it drops off a cliff. Dwayne Smoot, okay game, 5 combined tackles, only one of them solo, 81% of snaps played, though, so that's a pretty big jump. Tyson Campbell, good game, streaming corner, 4 combined tackles, 3 of them solo, 2 passes defended, and a pick. Nice. Campbell was in for 95% of snaps, so that looks good. Malcolm Brown landed a sack. Malcolm Brown was in 4. Where are you, Malcolm Brown? 59% of snaps at defensive tackle. He's been okay in deeper leagues. Damian Wilson, poopy week, 4 combined tackles. That's it. He was in for 83% of snaps. Josh Allen, just 2 solo tackles. That's it. Josh Allen was in for 69% of snaps. He's really come back down to earth, but we know what he's capable of. So, you know, deeper leagues, it is what it is. You got to roll him out and hope it works out. But yeah, not a lot going on here for the Jags. Same shenanigans, different week. No waiver wire moves to be seen. The same cast of characters. And no real changes in playing time either. Dwayne Smoot seeing a slight bump. But that's it. Everything else looks the same. So the waiver wire moves are on the Texans, not on the Jags, but they are dependent on health. Keep that in mind. And that was the Texans. That was the Jags.